Blog Talk Radio.
Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing healing from sexual abuse. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you, to visit conversationswiththequeens@blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss a show, you can always check us out here on the archives at blogtalkradio.com/109-9PennStation. Also, check out our fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen, as well as our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/CWTQUpdate. All right, everybody, I hope you all had an awesome weekend and are ready to really address this great and sometimes taboo topic that we're going to be touching on. But before we get into that, I would like to share with you April's yoga pose of the month, which is the reclining hero pose. And the benefits of this pose is that it stretches the abdomen, the thighs, the deep hip flexors, the knees and the ankles. It strengthens the arches, relieves tired legs, improves digestion, and it can help with symptoms of menstrual pain. So it's a really great pose to add into your yoga sequence if you already are a yoga doer. If not, you can learn more about it by visiting conversationswiththequeens@blogspot.com. We have an article with step-by-step information on how to get into the pose. So it's definitely a great thing to get into if you're not already into it. All right, we're going to open up things with our great affirmation of healing. And the affirmation starts like this. I am open to receive a great and powerful healing, one that will permeate deep into my subconscious mind and help me to grow and move forward with peace. Ashe. You can find affirmations like this one and many others on our blogspot page, which is again conversationswiththequeens@blogspot.com. All right, without any further ado, we're going to get right into the show. We're going to start by introducing our panelist members. Peace, panelist in 314 area code, you are live. Peace.
Peace and greetings. This is Kelly.
Peace, Kelly. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Great. Great. So please hold while we get the rest of the panelists online, and then we'll begin the show. All right?
Okay.
We have our panelists from the 419 area code. You are live. I do believe this is Kathy.
This is Dr. Schaefer. How are you today, Jay?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
All right. So please hold while we get our next three panelists on the line. Panelists from the 347, which I do believe is our lovely co-host, Janelle.
Peace, sister. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. I'm great.
All right. Well, let's get these other panelists on live. All right. Panelists from the 336 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen. I do believe.
Greetings, Queen.
Peace. Is this D. Scott or is this, who's this?
That's me.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, greetings.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Yeah, she's our surprise guest. Sorry, girl. We just lost one of our other guests, so I guess they'll be back on. All right, we'll just start with everybody that we have on the line. Peace and greetings to all those who have joined us live in the chat and who are live listening on in the call and queue. We're going to open up our panel discussion by asking a simple question. Well, I guess it could be looked at as a simple question, but something that's really going to introduce and open up each specific panelist. And that question is, why do you feel that it's so important to speak about sexual abuse? So we're going to start with Kelly, and then we're going to work our way down.
Well, for me, I believe that it's important to talk about sexual abuse because it seems like almost 8 to 9 women out of 10 that I meet have been assaulted or abused. And it's almost like it's become a pandemic. The numbers are staggering, actually, and I know we're going to get to the other questions, but it's something that we really need to dive into because too many of us have been victimized, and I don't even like to use that word.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's a fact that, you know, it's too many of us have gone through this, and a lot of us do not acknowledge it or admit that it's happened for whatever reasons. And like I said, I know we'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I believe that it's important because it's across the board and it's happening to too many women, children, and even men. I know some men who have also been victimized by this.
Definitely. I'm going to add a little bit on to that question before we move on. So, why did you specifically want to share about sexual abuse? You can share a little bit of your story with our listeners so that they can, you know, become acquainted with why you're on the panel.
Okay. Well, I was initially violated at the age of 8 by 2 boys that were older than me, probably maybe 11 or 12, that lived in the neighborhood and also went to the elementary school that I went to. And on my way back from recess, I was stopped by the both of them. And I remember I had on a dress, and I was held up against the school. There we had like trailers. We had some trailers on the school grounds, and I was held up against a trailer. And that was the first time. And the second time, I was actually raped by a former boyfriend. And I suppressed it until I was 36 years old. Never thought about it, Queen. Never mentioned it. Never even acknowledged it until I read, probably for the third or fourth time, Queen of Fools book, Sacred Woman. And in the beginning of the book, you know, she talks about connecting to your womb and some of the things that transpired within our womb. And I said, you know what? It was 2 weeks after my 36th birthday, and I said, you know what? This did happen to me.
Yeah.
And how am I going to move forward? And I'm a very private person, although you may not seem that way on Facebook. And the spirit within me told me that this is how you will connect and heal or assist in healing other women.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to tell your story. And 4 years later, here I am.
Very powerful. Thank you for sharing a little bit of your story with us. All right. We're going to move forward and ask that Kathy speak about why you feel it's important to speak about sexual abuse and share a little bit of your story and why you're here speaking on the panel.
All right, thank you, Tay. And I will read a statistic on sexual assault statistics, how often this rape happened to women. It says 1 in 4 college women report surviving rape, that's 15%. Or attempted rape, that's 12%, since their 14th birthday. And a study by the U.S. Center for Disease Control of 5,000 college students at over 100 colleges, 20% of the women answered yes to the question, in your lifetime, have you been forced to submit to sexual intercourse against your will? And see, I think when we look at the term sexual assault or rape or sexual abuse, we look at it from the standpoint of someone that is distant from us, that we do not know, but usually it is someone that knows us. And Kelly spoke of being raped by a boyfriend, and I'll tell you, it's amazing how we come into a conscious awareness of what has happened to us. Do you hear me, Tay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Thank you, thank you. How we come into a conscious awareness of experiences that we've had. And I didn't even realize that I was being raped the first time that I was taken advantage of sexually by my boyfriend, a live-in boyfriend. And it happened again by a live-in boyfriend. And at those times, I'm thinking, well, we're just having a disagreement, and that's he's stronger than I am, and so I'm being subdued by him. But it was literally a fight, because I had to fight him from taking advantage of me, but I still believe that he won, and I ended up with bruises on my arm, black and blue. And when we went to dinner at his mom's house, I was embarrassed to move too much my left arm, because I didn't want her to see the bruises on my arm. And the second time it happened in the basement of the home, my sister and my father were sharing, and I was embarrassed to make this person leave my home, and I know that I could have, but it didn't even occur to me what was really happening to me. At that time, again, here I'm thinking that this is a lover's quarrel, but whenever someone forces us to do something in a sexual way that we do not want to do, then it is a sexual assault. And so we need to talk about these concerns simply because we have to shine a light on them and make sure that individuals understand what is occurring to them, and that young girls understand what this abuse of power is all about. So we need to bring it to the forefront. And I simply want to share my story because it is a cleansing process for me to be able to talk about experiences that I've had in my life that were not so pleasant, so that I can feel comfortable that I don't have anything to be ashamed of, because when we don't know, we just simply do not know. And when we learn better, then we are expected to do better.
Definitely. Great, great share. Thank you for sharing on that. All right, we're going to move forward to our other lovely panelist, Janelle. Janelle, please share with us a little bit why you feel it's important to speak on sexual abuse, and share a little bit of your story as to why you're on the panelist right now.
Sure. Well, sexual abuse, it seems so uncommon, but it's very common.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've come to find is that with a lot of young women, not only have they been possibly sexually abused at some point in time in their life,
mm-hmm.
Some type of sexual crime has been committed against them more than once. So whereas one may be attempted rape, it might actually turn into rape later on, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to speak on it because I find that when you don't, you hold on to a lot of anger, a lot of resentment. You hold on to the negative aspects of it because you're hurting, you're in pain, but you're also afraid. You don't know what to talk to. It's not something comfortable to talk about. It's really taboo, and that's the sad part. Excuse me. It shouldn't be taboo. We should be able to say, this happened to me, fix it. But
exactly.
In certain situations, it doesn't happen that way, or we get blamed. So it's important to talk about it, so that way you don't have to live with the shame, the pain, and the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was 15, no, I was 15, going into 16, and I thought I was really friends with this girl, I thought we were great, come to find out she secretly didn't like me, and she set me up with some guy, and I'm thinking everything's okay, everything's great, And I turned around that him and his friends raped me. Mm-hmm. I was about 16 years old, and about 16. So from then on, for a while I was afraid. I wouldn't step anywhere near the area that it happened. Like, it was a whole mm-hmm. borough, so I wouldn't even go into the entire borough because I was afraid. Mm-hmm. And scared, and then I had an attempted rape happen to me after that by a classmate. He almost tried to force himself in on me in his car, and it just so happened that when he tried, I was able to maneuver to get out the car, and I was able to maneuver to get him off of me. So, you know, it's for a while I walked around with an angry mind, angry heart, angry body, mm-hmm. Just filled with anger and resentment and I hated people, mad, and, you know, until I realized that it was toxic and what I was doing to myself was hurting myself. But I didn't want to talk to anybody because I was scared. I didn't want to be made fun of. I didn't want to be made laughed at. So
yeah.
I kept it in. And it wasn't until that I went to a therapist, sexual abuse therapist, mm-hmm. and I actually spoke and talked, that, you know, I realized how important it was and how unhealthy it was not to talk about it, even just mm-hmm. with this one person. And after telling this one person, it was like the whole world lifted off my shoulders. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Thank you for sharing your story. All right, I'm going to move forward to our next panel. So before we do, I'd like to bring on our last panelist, D. Scott. Peace, are you on the line? Peace, D., are you on the line? Panelist from the 419 area code.
I'm in the 419 area code, Jay.
Yeah, but this is... Yeah, I know you are, but there's another person from the floor. I don't know. Well, I guess
okay. She
might not be hearing us or listening. Well, I'm going to just leave the mic open.
And, you know, I bet that's probably my sister, 419508.
No.
Okay. And I invited my sister to participate by listening, and I don't know if callers are going to be asked to say something or what have you, but I'm just delighted to be a part of this. And another incident flashed in my mind of when I was raped again. It's been three experiences that I can recall specifically, and then one, I remember this, I was at a neighbor's house four times. This is the fourth time. There was probably going to be an attempted rape because her boyfriend, I would go over and help this lady to clean her house. My neighbor, you know, she watched after us when my mother and father were not home, and over us when we were in the neighborhood. And her boyfriend was a heavy drinker, and I would stay the night over sometimes because it gave me a sense of independence and, you know, as if I was an only child. And I remember one night I was there, and I awakened, and he was in the room. And I'm thinking, what in the world is he doing in this room? And by the goodness of my heart and by the grace of God, I had the courage to tell him, if you don't get out of this room, I'm going to call Tommy. And it obviously startled him that I had that much courage about myself. And I'm sure I told my mother and my father about it. So we just have to make our young people aware to have the courage to speak up and to talk about incidents that don't make them feel comfortable. It doesn't matter who's involved. It could be a mother, it could be a brother, father, sister, brother. It doesn't matter. We just need to let them know that it is important to talk about them and that it is okay to talk about them. It's not their fault, and they have nothing to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, we're going to move on to our final panelist, and we're going to, Seven, are you on the line still?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
We're going to ask the same question. Why do you feel it's important to speak about sexual abuse and share a little bit of why you wanted to be on the panel and speak about this important issue?
Okay, sure. Well, my desire to share on the panel is because
as I went through a clarity phase and reflecting on my life, I came upon some interesting just clarification as to what the sexual experiences are in our lives and what they're meant for. And oftentimes we hear it referring to something, you know, in a negative sense or, you know, connected to an emotional experience when, you know, as I have actually seen is that it's an energy thing. And it's a collaboration of experiences that, you know, have a purpose. And so as I was going through my initiation phase and reflecting on things, I just found some really interesting information that, you know, just spiritually I was led to that allowed me not only to, you know, process the experience, but to be empowered by it. And I just feel that I'm here to share perhaps a different avenue. I experienced something such as this or a sexual experience when I was 4, actually. And it was not a family member. It was a younger person, sort of like a teenager or something, that was babysitting us. And so it was an experience like that. But, you know, like I said, I just, in processing it, I didn't feel comfortable being a victim. I didn't feel that it was something to be ashamed of. I didn't feel that it was something that wasn't supposed to happen because I know everything is supposed to happen. And so it just really opened me up to this whole level of acceptance and learning to process what the experience meant to my life at that time. So I'm just here to share just a different viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow.
Thank you for sharing that. We do have 1 hour and 30 minutes left on the live stream. I'd like to remind everybody that we will have a question and answer portion to this program after we get finished with the presentation portion, and that the call-in number for that is 917-932-8881. But we will continue forward with our presentation portion of the program, and I'm going to move forward to the next question, which is, why do you feel sexual abuse in and of itself is such a taboo topic? And we're going to start with Janelle.
Wow. A taboo topic and why? For me, I believe that sexual abuse is taboo because with sexual abuse is emotions. There's attachments that come with it. There's stuff, realizations that, you know, people have to come to, and a lot of times people don't want to come to those realizations. They don't want to believe that Uncle Bobby is molesting the kids or Daddy would hurt his own daughter or things of that nature because it's just so, like, why? Why would you? And sometimes the abuser, and when people find out or people know who the abuser is, everybody wants to keep hush-hush because, you know, nobody wants to think that anybody's family is dysfunctional or what have you. Mm-hmm. But that's what becomes the detriment, and that's what ends up actually harming the victim is when the perpetrator or nothing happens to the perpetrator. That then in turn sends a horrifying message to the victim. Because then it's like, you're not going to do anything about it. Really? Mm-hmm. I went through all of this, and now you're not going to fix it? Okay. So that causes resentment. But it's just so very taboo because it's like, oh, no, not him. Or, oh, no, they wouldn't do that. Or, oh, no. And that's the problem. We're so concerned of the, oh, no, that sight of what's important, which is the safety and security of that child, whether it be male or female, safety and security, but we're just so concerned about how it will look. Ooh, we don't want it to look bad. No, no, no. And then, you know, people suffer. So, you know, when it's not made a big deal, or people, as
I've heard said before, I'm tired of hearing about that. As if it's like, okay, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, every, you know, people think it's a natural thing, so it's just automatic. And mm-hmm. it happens, so we're just going to deal with it. And I come to find in a lot of families with mothers and daughters where the mothers have been raped and then they find out that the daughters have been raped, the mothers then in turn will say something like, well, it happened to me too. Don't worry about it. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. You know what I mean?
Normalize
like, whoa.
It.
Right. And they make it seem like it's normal. So if you don't make a big deal about it, why is somebody else going to make a big deal about it? It's no big deal to you. So why should it be a big deal to me? Why should I have any concern if something happened to sister so-and-so? It didn't happen to me. And it's got me syndrome, too, where we've kind of developed me. But if it didn't happen to me, I don't care. So it ain't happened to me. I don't care if it happened to you, sister, mother, cousin, whatever. I don't care. So it's a lot of, we lack a lot when it comes to this topic. We lack support. We lack the mentoring. We lack the healing. We lack the recovery. We lack the discipline. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of lack. But you can't put your finger and just blame, because a lot of times as a victim too, we don't feel comfortable enough coming up and opening our mouths to say anything. Not, you know, that it's our fault, but we feel as though. So it becomes that, then it becomes the whole, you know, fault. Mm-hmm. Whose fault is it? Nobody wants to take the blame, so nobody wants to say anything about it. So, you know, it's just a lot on, you know, different parts, and a lot of people don't realize the different aspects that go into sexual abuse. One, because I don't think they realize it, but two, I don't think they want to, because when you have to face such a serious issue of sexual abuse, it opens so many doors, and for some, can open up old wounds. So they don't want to deal with it. I'd rather sweep it under the rug than see it and deal with it.
Yeah.
Right now.
That's very true. All right. Thank you for sharing. Those great points you brought up. We're going to move forward to our next panelist, Kelly, and we're going to ask you the same question. Why do you feel that sexual abuse is such a taboo topic, and why is it kept silent?
Well, I believe it's taboo because sex is taboo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody wants to talk about sex, even though that's how we all got here. But nobody wants to talk about, like the sister just said, you know, it opens up so many doors and gates, and, you know, people want to keep private. You know, this is something that if it comes to the forefront, it's something that we need to keep in the family. Nobody else needs to know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nobody wants to take responsibility for discussing it with the youth. You know, nobody wants to take responsibility for even engaging, like I said, about talking about sex, let alone discuss it as a violation. And I also believe that it's silent as far as the survivors are concerned, because someone else mentioned before, it's like you've got the blame, the guilt, and the shame.
Yeah,
I call the Bee Gees. It's like, you know, I'm blaming myself, which is what I went through. I was guilty, and I felt shameful as far, and also afraid. I knew
you know,
that if I
forgive me. Why do you say that you felt guilty about what?
I felt guilty for allowing him. This was, you know, when I was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt guilty for allowing my ex to come to the house so that we could talk.
Mm-hmm.
But I trusted him. I didn't feel like I was in violation for continuing to be his friend. He never displayed any type of aggression or disdain towards me or anything. So after the fact, I was like, I should have never let him in the house.
Okay.
I should have never let him in the house. You know, I should have told him to leave. Or stuck to my word when I asked him, you know, it's time for you to leave, and I allowed him to stay, you know. And the fear came where it was like, if I tell my father is going to kill this man or this boy, this young man. You know what I'm saying? And I had an opportunity to talk about this for the first time last year, a year ago today, and it dawned on me after the show that I not only protected my father from going to jail, in essence, I protected the young man that did it from my father. Now, that wasn't the intention. However, that, in essence, is also what happened. And yes. I also believe it's kept silent because a lot of women feel that they won't be believed.
Very true.
I met a sister last week. Well, we worked together, and we were discussing just life, and we got on the subject of this topic. Mm-hmm. And she said that it was somebody from church, and her mother kind of swept it under the rug and spoke to her father, and the father was just totally upset, like he was going to just go kill somebody. And the mother talked him down from it, and it was just like, you know, she said it was consensual. She said it was consensual, but my friend didn't realize that it wasn't consensual. She just knew that it was fornication. And so she kind of covered it up. And it's like a lot of people feel like, one, they won't be believed, and two, it's their fault. Mm-hmm. They'll disclose what happened to them, and then they'll say, well, it was your fault. You shouldn't have been. And that's the thing. We have to get it out that it is never a woman's fault. It does not matter what you wear. It does not matter if your body says yes and you say no. No means no.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never, it's really not so much a sexual thing either. It's a power thing.
And trusting someone. You trusted the individual that you invited to your home. And you did not think that they would betray your trust.
Exactly.
So it was not your fault.
Exactly. Well, I realized that after getting, you know, help and talking about it. But, you know, when you're 17,
when you're
at
young,
that time,
yeah.
you're like, I should have never done this. I knew better.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. And then, and like the other sister said, I'm sorry, I don't remember the names, but, and I know we're going to talk about that later because I have all the questions out, but there's so much rage and anger that comes out, and it's like you don't even know, like if you repress it, you don't even know where that anger and rage comes from. Like I every man that I've ever dealt with, I wanted to control and had so much anger if it was something that he did and I didn't agree to it. It was like a man literally raised up within me, and I had to fight this man to prove that I was good enough or whatever, because there was no way that another man was going to take advantage of me, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And until I realized that, like somebody told me this, I was working with somebody last month, and she was like, Kelly, do you realize why you had so much rage? You were violated twice. That's where it came from. And I said, oh, my God. And I was free from that. But that's what happened.
Very
you know?
True. All right. Thank you for sharing. Very powerful points that you brought up. We're going to ask that Seven now speak on the same question, which is, why do you feel sexual abuse is such a taboo topic, and why is it kept silent?
Okay, well, you know, as everyone else said, all the other panelists, you know, sex is taboo. Nobody talks about it. And if you do, you're considered a radical. It's either you take one side, which is a victim, and that's perceived as okay. But then again, it's a lack of culture here in America where there's a lot of things that we don't quite get that may have been or will probably be considered sexual abuse if we were in some of our more ethnic surroundings and communities. There are certain things that go on there that if they were to happen, someone would say, oh, gosh, that's terrible, that's sexual abuse. But it's actually a part of the culture. So I feel that people don't really describe a lot of things because there's no clarity. We've been taken out of our element. And since we've been taken out of our element, we don't quite connect the purposefulness of all energy. And so, no one can really explain it when they don't have clarity themselves. And it seems that, you know, society, what they do talk about, okay, well, this isn't supposed to happen, that's wrong about it. And it does create, I'm sure, a lot of people feeling guilty about things. But, you know, we have to, it's a lack of culture, and it's a lack of spiritual clarity. So that's why it's not discussed. And that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. Very great point. All right, and finally, Kathy, why do you feel that sexual abuse is such a taboo topic, and why is it kept silent?
Okay, and the lady that just spoke, I would like you to tell me her name again, Tay, please.
Seven.
Yes.
All right. Seven, you touched on a lot of points, and I have to agree that sexual abuse is such a taboo topic because our culture has not developed enough intellectually that we can comfortably talk about the subject of sexuality. I remember my mother bought a book for us when we were teenagers, and the topic of the book was everything you always wanted to know about sex but were afraid to ask. And we would read the book repeatedly and repeatedly, but we didn't have very many conversations with my mother about sexual activity and sex, et cetera, et cetera. She simply told us, just keep your legs closed and don't lay around and have a house full of babies. You know, so we have to take the position, and I will be doing that in the future, to have young children to talk about sexual activities, sexual abuse, topics that are important to them relative to sexuality, because we just have to simply be more informed. That's just simply the bottom line. And I think a reason that it is kept so silent is because of the shame that is attached to it, the guilt that is attached to it. Mothers feel guilty and ashamed that their husbands are taking advantage of their children, and they don't know what to do. A lot of times they don't know about it. I remember a professional football player was saying that his mother had a boyfriend that lived in with them, and while she was out working at night, her boyfriend was taking advantage of this of her son. And it's a hurtful thing to have to endure those kind of memories and those kind of thoughts. And a lot of individuals feel more comfortable just pushing it under the rug, but it does so much damage to the person that this has happened to, because it gives them a sense that they are not important, that the other person that has taken advantage of them and has hurt them is more important, or their feelings are more important than the person who's hurt. A daughter that has been abused by a father or an uncle needs to have a place where she can go to heal. A son that has been abused by a live-in boyfriend needs to have a place where they can go and heal. So there is an enormous amount of guilt, as we've discovered and talked about here, and shame and what have you. And we need to get a greater sense of clarity on the subject, as what we're talking about today, of what sexual abuse is. Because when I was abused sexually, I didn't know that was what was happening to me. And then it happened again, and I didn't know what was happening to me. And then it happened again and again. And then it just suddenly occurred to me, just really actually shortly before this conversation, hey, because I called you because I wanted to participate in it from a professional perspective, from an educational perspective. And then I thought about the subject, and I really, really went deep within myself. And then just having this conversation with you all tonight made me realize that there was a time in my life when I forgot. And this is a guy that I had dated, and we'd gone
places together, and he invited me to his house one day. And he took out a gun and a knife. And in other words, I was not going to leave there until I did what he wanted me to do. And when I saw that he was serious and that my life was in jeopardy, then I succumbed to his advances. And that's not a very good feeling. It's a very powerless feeling. So when we can have clarity on what is occurring to us, then we can move forward to not let that happen to us again. And I talk about intuition frequently and vibrations. And when we get the vibration that something is not sounding right, if a conversation is not sounding right, we need to get up and immediately dismiss ourselves and teach our children these kind of tactics to protect themselves. So there is a lot that is evolving around this topic of sexual abuse and why it's kept silent and why it is such a taboo, topic. So I'm so glad to be a part of this panel and conversation, and I'm really hoping that the listeners and everyone involved is going to be able to take away a great amount of strength to empower someone else's life.
Mm-hmm. They definitely are, because the lines are lit up at this point. We're definitely getting a lot of great responsive feedback in the chat room. It's really, really, you know, a topic that a lot of people anticipate forums where they can talk about it. So that's why I feel it's so important that we make this something that we do every year on Conversations with the Queen.
Yes, I have something I'd like to share really quickly. Also in thinking about why it's also so very taboo is, one, in the manner that it happens, and listening to the panel, one, it's in the manner that it happens, because a lot of people don't realize certain things that happen to them, and they don't consider it to be sexual abuse, when it really is. They don't realize that falls into the sexual abuse category.
Definitely.
Two, what they do with sexual abuse, and as I come to find when I was doing my research, is they separate it by gender. And that's also an issue, because there are young boys, young men, males, that have been sexually abused, and they're told, oh, you can't be that because you're a man. And men can, it can happen to men too. It was something that dawned on me. One of my teachers has said to us, oh, you can't rape a man, but you can rape a female. And I sat there and I thought about it. I was like, huh? Yeah, you can. Men get raped in prison. What do you mean? Can't rape a man? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. Now, maybe a female may not be able to do it, but another man can. So you can't, you know, just sweep the male part of it under the rug, because what? Because he's mighty and he's manly? Okay, so what happens to them too? But what people don't realize is there's an actual culture in sexual abuse. Why? Because every person within every culture has experienced sexual abuse in some way, shape, or form. It does not discriminate against anybody. Almost everyone knows someone who has been sexually abused in some way, shape, or form. And the problem is that this culture is so unknown, and we're also taboo to speak about it, because, you know, everything about sex is dirty, and everything about sex is bad. Ooh, bad, bad, dirty, yucky sex. When we talk about sexual abuse, and it's like, oh, you're yucky. So because you did the yucky, you're yucky too. And, you know, and I break it down that way because, you know, if you think about it in the sense of a kid, it's like, okay, hold on. Wait, that makes absolutely no sense. But that's what we do, and that's what happens. And it's like, we don't realize that we end up turning and pointing the finger to the wrong person, because it's like, oh, ew, yucky. Had you not participated in the yucky, like the young lady said, had I not let him in his house, or had I told him to leave and he would have left, you know, maybe that wouldn't have happened. But it's like, in essence, and although she was only 17, she shouldn't have never felt that way. It should have never been something that should have been in her mind for her to even feel that. It should have been, you had no right to do that to me, and whether my father would kill you or not, you should pay for that. And no, I don't want daddy to go to jail, because nobody wants daddy to go to jail. But at the same time, you violate me. You should pay in some shape or form. But sometimes the accuser never gets their just due, because the victim is so victimized, not just the violation of the body, but the violation of the mind. And then we send that young lady or that young person out, but then we can't understand why there's so much violence. Because we walk around with a lot of hurt and angry people. But we don't know how to release it.
You're right, and unable to get into a healthy relationship. And I remember my cousin Donald telling me that, and he was being raped. I know that he was being raped because a child knows it's not normal to have a sexual relationship with an adult. This adult was taking advantage of this child, and I don't know that there are any statistics that says that homosexuality is genetically encoded within a person. I believe that this individual became homosexual because he was being taken advantage of by an older man. And so we don't often look at men in our society or boys in our society being raped. We usually see it as a female kind of an activity that occurs, but you're absolutely right on that. And I'll tell you, I think it was Seven that talked about how individuals come to cope with this. And I remember one lady in the ladies' group that I was sitting in, and I do believe, according to my understanding and recollection of the call, of the conversation, that she was saying that her level of acceptance was to the degree that she felt like it had to happen to her in order for her to be the dynamic person that she is today, in order to be able to help someone else heal. And that was really a mouthful for me to wrap my mind around and to understand. And I'm beginning to understand more the psychological aspect of it is a power thing. You know, people are on this power trip and they want to use their power to hurt someone, and that's what they do.
So I think that wraps it up for that question. Again, we do have 1 hour and 8 minutes left on the live stream, and I hope all my listeners who are calling in are hanging in there tight. You know, we have a panel discussion. We can tend to take a little bit of a while getting through these questions, but we definitely want to address everything, so please hang on tight while we do. All right, I'll move forward to the next question, and I'm actually going to, like, kind of mangle them together. We're going to start, you know, summarizing some of these questions. How can we start to change the stigma that is tied to sexual abuse victims, and are there different types of sexual abuse? And if so, what are they? So I'm going to start with Kelly. We're going to start with you, and I'll repeat that question for you again. How can we change the stigma tied to sexual abuse victims, and are there different types of sexual abuse? If so, what are they? Hello? Kelly?
I'm sorry, I was on mute because I'm typing. I'm just talking. I'm like, wait a minute, hello? I'm sorry. Well, as I said earlier, I believe that we have got to let the survivors know that it's not their fault, and also overcoming the fear of being ostracized. We have to, you know, be able to let these women know that they have a voice and it will help another sister in need. However, at the same time, it's like, how do we get them? How do we pull it out of them? It's already happened, so how do we pull it? You know, how do we pull it out of them? And for those that are listening now who feel or believe that they do not have a voice, you do. And again, it's not your fault. And the best way to begin your healing process is to admit and acknowledge whatever happened to you, and to seek support. And I would say, you know, there could be different bullet points under, you know, different types of sexual abuse, but abuse is abuse, you know. But to answer the question, you know, you've got rape, you've got molestation, you've got fondling, and anything that occurs against the will of the woman child, and even a man child or a man for that matter, is abuse. You know, anything that goes against the will of the person being victimized is abuse. And I also, this is just me, but I feel that there is a difference between assault and abuse. I believe that assault is maybe once or twice. I mean, that doesn't downgrade it or anything. It's still the same thing. However, abuse to me is like an ongoing thing. But going against the will of anybody is abuse. You know, whether the body language said yes and she said no, or she said yes at first and then said no, or, you know, it's still a no. And that's against the will of the person. So that's my short answer for both questions.
Thank you for that. And you did hit on some really important aspects. Okay, so we're going to move forward. Seven, how can we change the stigma tied to sexual abuse victims, and are there different types of sexual abuse, and if so, what are they?
All right. The way that is always through knowledge. Knowledge is always power. Providing more than just what's already been out there, seeking and being able to share various viewpoints, and just empowerment should always be the lesson for every experience in one's life. And it shouldn't be a matter to be dwelled on. I feel many people are not able to accept a situation when they haven't been 100% honest with themselves. And so in order to be honest, like I could honestly say that when I experienced the sexual experience, because I'm not really going to call it abuse in my opinion, and I'm just sharing, you know, my color, because we each have a different color in the way that we share what we do. But when I had the experience, you know, I was 4, but I can be 100% honest and say I did not mind it. It was only that when I tried to process it within my limited view of the world, did it seem as if something was different, because my world was expanded. It was not any longer what it was. And so I feel being honest with the self is the first step at removing oneself from being the victim and really connecting to the honest truth of what someone really felt.
Oh, forgive me, Seven, and I want to thank you, ladies, so much for helping educate me, because this was just not a coincidence for me to be on this call, because, Seven, when you introduced yourself and your experience, you're just so brutally honest, and I have so much respect for honesty, and I recall a time, too, when I was a young girl, maybe about 8 or 9 years of age, and I was fondled, too, and I have to admit that it was an experience that I enjoyed, and when we are honest with ourselves, then there's not a victim involved and there's not a perpetrator. And we have to be able to distinguish those lines and those colors between when we are being victimized. Because there were times, as I indicated, that I was, when I was taken advantage of because someone was stronger than me, or because they had a weapon, or 2 weapons, as a matter of fact, in front of me, threatening me with my life. So you made a very valid point, and I thank you for sharing that, Seven.
Absolutely. So that's one thing, and being honest with the self is also how you prevent situations from happening in the future. I remember that, you know, as an adult, I was a place and a guy, you know, wanted to overpower me, and the energy and the strength that I developed in being, you know, more confident within myself, knowing myself, I was able to throw him up against the wall in the point where it frightened him so much that he was like, wow. And it's like, only if you know who you are, and teaching children to know who they are, is a way that we can help prevent. Empowering them is the way that you can help prevent them from putting themselves in situations, because then you know, okay, well, I'm not going to invite someone to my house this time of night because this is a possibility this could happen. And even as an adult woman before I was married, I would still be very cognizant of that, and to the point where if it was a certain time, I would not invite anyone over. And so anytime we have to be honest with what we really want, because you know for sure if you call a dude over there at 11 p.m., that pretty much you know is some sort of kind of up with that. And so, you know, if that's not what you want to invite into your life at all, then you got to be aware of it and say, okay, well, I'm going to make better choices. And so just honesty is the key. And, you know, once you're honest, you're like, you know what, hey, I did call that experience into my life, but I'm not to dwell on it. It's supposed to make me better. I'm going to be better by it and empowered by it. And so the last
Kevin, forgive me for interjecting a thought, if I may, because an incident can occur to an individual, whether it's broad daylight or night, because I remember the incident where the boyfriend, supposedly it was a boyfriend of mine, had me in this position during the broad daylight hours, and I was helpless, and it was not a good feeling.
Yeah,
but for sure.
I mean, when the situation where I had to throw a guy up against the wall, that was during the day too. But, I mean, some situations, that's when you have to be connected. And I feel like that's what we have to get back to. It's an emotional, physical, spiritual thing. We have to reconnect to nature. We have to reconnect and detoxify our auric energy so that we don't attract these situations into our lives. Because regardless, we did attract that energy into us magnetically. And so through detoxifying our body, attuning ourselves, and even connecting communally on a deeper level, we're able to prevent these situations from occurring, because then when you're operating in purpose, there's no time sometimes to invite certain situations into your life. And so it really is ultimately self-responsibility, and it really is not about the so-called victimizer. It's all about you. And whether or not, you know, someone wants to take responsibility for that, I can only speak for myself and take responsibility and say, you know, there's always people who will kick, scream, bite, you know, whatever to prevent a situation from happening. And, you know, and then there's people who aren't willing to do that. But whatever the case is, you have to move forward, you have to be honest, and see what you can take from that to be better. So teaching the children more than just about sexual abuse, teaching them to honor who they are, honor their power. And you honor your power through how you utilize your power, connecting to it, learning the importance of your aura, learning the importance of your energy. Like, all of these things are super important, because sex, many times they talk about sex being something that our society is really plagued with it. You know, people will do anything for it. And it's because sex is a way of feeding. And so you have to understand that many times people aren't even being fed because of their lifestyle and because you're living in concrete jungles, to the point where the only way someone can actually even activate their energy is through actually engaging in sex. And so, you know, I look at my experience and take it to a very, an amazing place when I think about it, because it actually, when it happened to me, it allowed me to connect to the yoni, my yoni energy, even at that age. And I actually was sort of like a sickly child, but I started to masturbate, honestly and truthfully, at a really early age, probably about 6 years old, and two orgasms. And it was like I started doing this, and then I found some information years ago that said that this was a way a person could actually heal themselves when they have nothing else that they could possibly, you know, no one else knows what to do to heal them. And so, you know, we have to connect to what these experiences mean in a way that's beyond what we've been taught, beyond what we've been shown, and be empowered by them. And so by sharing all of these things, you know, letting people know what is going on, and you have... in Rome, you know, that was often something when people talk about mentors. Mentor was a man who sexually engaged in activity with another man of a younger age that he was teaching things to. And this was socially acceptable. So,
you're absolutely correct about that, Shevin, and I thank you so much for allowing me to interject thoughts when you're making conversations, because I studied that in my Western Civilization class in one of my undergraduate classes, and you said attracting, and we do attract. Everything that Every experience that we have, we attract that in our lives. Every experience that we have, we saw. And I used to use this phrase, I signed up for that class. But in every one of my classes, I signed up for that class because that's what I wanted to do. And when we whatever we have in our lives, it's because it has occurred on a subconscious level and it has manifested itself on a conscious level. And you talked about masturbation, and we need to inform our children too that it is a normality. It is a normal action for children to masturbate. I remember I was in a preschool classroom teaching this particular day, and a little boy was laying on the floor, and he was just taking care of his business, and I didn't know what to say or to do, so I called the head teacher, and I told her, I said, you see little such and such over there, can you talk to him and tell him that he probably needs to do that in his bedroom? So you're hitting on some very powerful subjects of it.
Thank you. I'm just being real, because I feel that that's what helps us to heal is by being real. And when you're real, then you're empowered, and that's just, I'm just sharing my truth. So I pray and trust that it will connect with someone and empower them as well.
Thank you. Because we are pressed for time, and not because I want to rob any of you of the opportunity to speak on anything, but we will start, we have to move through these questions very quickly. So I'm going to combine the two last questions, and I'm going to give each of you an opportunity to answer, and then we will open up the calls. Again, the call-in number is 917-932-8881. I feel it's very important that everybody gets a moment to share, especially the callers, because, that's what we want. We want to make this a healing forum for a lot of people. So let's move forward with these last two questions. How can we begin to prevent sexual abuse, and how can we begin to heal from sexual abuse? So I'm going to start with Kathy, and we're going to work our way through the panel.
Okay, I'll tell you my experiences then. I attempted to prevent sexual abuse occurring to my children because I didn't allow them to spend the night away from home. And I know their grandparents did not approve of it. They didn't understand it. My kids didn't understand why they couldn't go to their pals' houses and spend the night. And I just didn't allow it. I think I let my son, I let my daughter stay away from home once that I can remember as a teenage girl. And she's 18 now. And I remember once that I allowed my son to stay away from home, but I knew what occurred to me as a child and the experiences that I had. And I didn't want my children to be subjected to being taken advantage of. So that was a motherly instinct that kicked in with me as my way of trying to prevent sexual abuse. So maybe mothers might want to caution themselves as far as allowing their children to spend the night away from home. So the second question is, how does sexual abuse affect victims after the incident? And I think that we have an array of emotions. I said when I was fondled, it was something that I enjoyed because I didn't know anything about sexual abuse at that time, and this is one of my relatives. And then the boyfriend relationship, I didn't know anything very much about sexual abuse other than the terminology itself. So it affects us in the way that we feel that it's something that we've done because he would get, and physical abuse at the same time, same thing. I was sexually abused and physically abused in a relationship, and I thought maybe something that I was doing. I thought it was maybe something I was doing, the reason that he physically abused me. So it affects us in a way that it goes deeper, and it sometimes takes a lifetime of processing to get through it. So there's a range of emotions that we experience after these incidents occur to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for your share. And you brought up some really great points. Janelle, I'm going to ask you two questions. How can we begin to prevent sexual abuse, and how can we begin to heal from sexual abuse?
Prevention, awareness, aware. Oh, you got to be aware. You got to know what's going on. You also have to know what's going on around you. Prevention, talking. People don't realize how therapeutic talking is. and how talking can present. Well, I put it to you like this. If you have someone who is supportive in your corner, when certain things happen, you can go talk to this person. That relieves a lot. But we have to be more aware. We really do. Sexual abuse in the form of the physical, the mental, even the verbal. We have to understand that certain things will, you know, certain people don't realize this sexual abuse. It is. It may be seemingly as, you know, something casual or something that might be normal when it isn't. Also, with prevention, I have to agree with Sister Seven, is we have to become more in tune. We have to. That is just so important. We have to align ourselves, because the law of attraction is just
right.
that of what it is the law
right.
of attraction.
That's
and
right.
you are attracting these energies, not realizing
right.
that you're harboring these energies, but
That's
you're attracting
right.
these energies. And the reason why it's so important to cleanse is because not only are you carrying your baggage, you fail to realize this 400, 600, 700 years of baggage that you're carrying on top of that. That's what also we don't realize, too, is that the sexual abuse we're carrying is years and years and years of sexual abuse, generations and generations of people being abused sexually. So where your family line, you may be Sister so-and-so, but do you realize that the seven generations before you, all of the women were raped? So you might be carrying certain things that you don't, you
yeah.
yourself, too, may not realize. So it's also about self. It's also about the empowerment of yourself. It's also about the empowerment of the children, because so many children don't know about such abuse. We keep that quiet because we don't want them to know, because we think we're protecting them, and we're not. We're
yeah.
hurting them. So
yeah.
we also have to make our kids aware. We have to make our kids aware and let them know that this is a no-no. This is bad. This happens, you tell mommy. And you, mommy, daddy, whoever, you let somebody know, somebody can do something about it. And two, normally we deal with emotions. So somebody tells us something happens to them sexually or dealing with sexual abuse, we react. Sometimes we need to stop and we need to think before we create that reaction, because just like the other sister, the reason why she didn't tell us, she was afraid what daddy was going to do. So she, in a sense, was saving him, saving the boy from daddy, but the boy also didn't pay for his crime. So then he could have turned around and, you know, not saying it happened, but he could have turned around and then offended someone else. See, when we don't catch these offenders, they reoffend. And sometimes they reoffend worse than how they offended you. So when we keep that, we keep this alive. The more we put a stop to it, the more it becomes like, whoa, yeah, you can't get away with that. Yeah, we're going to stand up. Yeah, we're going to say something about it. You can't keep doing this. This is wrong. So when it comes to that, we have to become strong, and we have to become a team, and we have to support each other. So I don't, I mean, you know, when we use the word victim, or rather when I use the word victim, I use it in the legal sense, because that's what you refer to in the legal sense as a victim. But that doesn't mean you literally have to be the victim. You really don't. You can
That's
be the
true.
Victor. You
That's
can,
right.
can become victorious. You just don't realize that you can. But once
That's
you get
right.
that power and you
right.
know that you can become victorious of this, whether you get the justice or seek the justice that you so justly deserve, or whether you deal with it within yourself, it's that power. We need to give people back their power. And once they realize that that power, which essentially is their voice, and let them know that, you know what, yeah, that happened, you know. Speak about it. Talk about it. Don't let it be taboo. And the more it, the less taboo it becomes, the more it becomes up in your face. And the more up in the face it becomes, the more you have to deal with it. But people don't like nothing in their face. So if you don't put it in their face, they can't deal with it. They run from it. But now it's time to stop running and really face this head on. Mm-hmm.
Because there is a healing process there.
Yes. And the taking on it head on is the healing process. But we don't realize that. When we deal with it in a way that's not negative, we are healing from it. It's healing. Talking, that's why I said talking is important. That's the healing, because once you start speaking it, you release the poison from yourself, whether you realize it or not.
when you hold it in and you don't tell anybody, you harbor. But when you start letting it out, slowly but surely you start to feel better because you're letting that toxin out. Because it's really toxic when you keep something like that in. You're poisoning yourself because then you're turning it on yourself. And then you now are turning on you. And then that's self-destruction, and that's bad. But when you talk about it, you start or write about it, or you let somebody know about it, it becomes a healing process in and of itself. And then that fight that you have, you get that little voice back, then that even more becomes a healing process. And even if you don't, like myself, I never went after my accusers of a lot of the show, but where I found my power is when I realized that, hey, one, I essentially attracted this, yes, but two, I still have that power to say I had the right to say no, whether I attracted you or not. I still have the right to say no. And the fact that you went against that right, okay, you did, and you may have hurt me, but I'm not going to let you win by continually wallowing in this hurt. I am going to heal and then rise above and then
That's
help
right.
others to rise above. And when you rise above, then that person no longer has that hold over you.
That's right.
That person that hurt you no longer can't hurt you anymore.
That's
because
right.
you rose above it. But we have to That's rise, and we have to be real with ourselves. We have to be real with ourselves and tell ourselves, forget everybody else, but tell ourselves the truth, the real truth, and tell yourself it really isn't your fault. Whether you were a child or a grown adult, it's not your fault. But though it not being your fault, you can't wallow here and expect things to be done if you're not going to do them. So, you know, it's education, pretty much.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that very passionate answer. But it really, we really do not have time. So each next response is really going to have to be a little bit more concise and just a little bit quicker done because we do really have a lot of people on the line who do want to get through. So we do want to afford them the opportunity while we're on the live stream. So with that in mind, we're going to move forward to Kelly, and we're going to ask the same two questions. How can we begin to prevent sexual abuse, and how can we begin to heal from sexual abuse? And not to rush you, but just keep mind on the clock.
Oh, I know. My questions are short because I wrote them out already. I mean, my answers are short. I wrote them out already. Well, first of all, we need to teach our children, boys and girls, that no matter what, no one is to touch their person. This is like at childhood. This includes hair, hands, feet, etc. No one is to touch them. And, you know, if that happens, because I believe we got to start young, but if this happens, they have to feel confident in telling, you know, their caretakers, their providers, some adult, regardless if it's just their hair, anything. And we have to ingrain that in them where they do feel that confidence in sharing that. What was the second question? How does it affect the victim?
How can we begin to heal from sexual abuse? Because
how do we begin to heal? Okay, hold on. Gotta go down. Gotta scroll down. admitting and acknowledging, I said that earlier, what happened, and seeking out support from either a traditional therapist or a spiritual counselor, which I would go that route, you know, where Seven spoke about energy. Mm-hmm. I believe that it's a mind, body, spirit thing, and understanding again that blame, shame, and guilt are not options. No one is to blame for what another person decided to do to them. As someone also said before, you know, speaking about it, and we have to seek support, and support is not taboo either. You know, we have to get over that crutch as well, because we can't do this alone. I tried to do it alone for the past 4 years and finally had to seek out help.
Yeah.
You know, so those are my general answers.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And if you do decide, let me just give a little word of advice. If you do decide to go the traditional route of therapy, please make sure you visit either a trauma specialist or a sexual abuse therapist, because generalized therapy does not always accommodate sexual abuse victims. So you
do need
to go to a specialist if you do decide to go the traditional therapy route. All right. Seven, how can we begin to prevent sexual abuse, and how can we begin to heal from it?
Okay. Well, just preventing it is all in the energy. Begin to teach the children. I realize that I'm the same, and sometimes we like to say, well, no, I'm different, I'm grown. But, you know, honestly, I have the same mentality that I did as a child. I receive things the same way. I have the same thoughts, sort of. It's just that I've expanded in possibilities. So I feel that when you speak, like my mom was very open with me about everything. So I had every right to know what was going on. It wasn't like I was all closed up. And, I mean, it's cool to not want anyone to touch you, but I'm just saying you prevent it by having conversation. You prevent it through teaching the children holistically to value their energy. And when you teach them to value their energy, they're going to take it with them in everything that they do. And that's how you begin to heal. You begin to heal through conversation with not just one viewpoint, but a spiritual viewpoint is what we need. And you begin to heal that way through community and conversation and working holistically with one's energy.
Very great answer. All right. Kathy, finally, but definitely not least, how do we begin to prevent sexual abuse, and how can we heal from sexual abuse?
Okay. How do we begin to prevent sexual abuse? As I indicated a little bit earlier, to protect our children, to teach them that their person is for no one to touch without their permission. And if someone does, then they are to notify an adult immediately. And Seven touched upon it very poignantly that we have to teach our children to guard the energies, the mental energies that they are sending out, because this law of attraction is powerful. It doesn't only work in a wealth-building capacity, but it draws into our lives everything that we think about. If it starts on a subconscious level, and usually that's where it begins, we have to understand whatever we are thinking, and we, our subconscious minds are so powerful. It's like a sponge. It absorbs everything in the world we ever see, do, feel, think, touch, and we have to guard our thoughts consciously that we are not attracting something in our lives that is unhealthy. So we have to take a number of approaches to prevent sexual abuse. And the second question was, how do we begin to heal?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to talk to someone. And as an educator, I say that for children that don't know how, or an adult that doesn't have someone to talk to use some kind of an artistic form, if it's drawing or if it's writing or if it's going for a walk, you know, to just talk to oneself about, but to get that out of them so that they will have a sense of empowerment again, because essentially a person's voice is taken away from them when something is taken from them and they cannot tell anyone about it. So we have to look for an avenue in which to be able to release those emotions that are trying to entangle our souls.
Great answers. Thank you. Everybody gave great answers. Everybody gave great contributions. So at this time, I would like to begin to open up the lines. And we do have a plethora of callers who were waiting so very patiently. So, yes. Our first caller is My Ultimate Scar, 077007. You are on the line with Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions pertaining to the topic of healing from sexual abuse?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, everyone can hear you.
Okay, well, I don't want to take too long because I understand you're limited on time. I was making some notes while listening to your discussion, and I just thought I'd bring up 4 points that I thought were most important. I'll just read off the 4 topics, and I'll talk about them very briefly each. The first one, of course, the reason I actually called is that I'm going from a male perspective. The second, that the whole guilt thing. The third is the sensitivity, and then the fourth is the physical. So first of all, I just wanted to say that as a male, it's a lot harder to cope with abuse. The form of abuse I experienced was child abuse. The problem with coping with it as a male is I'm not saying that females have an easier time or anything. It's just it's harder to open up to your bros and homies about something that's that you feel so ashamed of, and the shame isn't something that should happen, but it's just something that does, and that brings me into the guilt. And you feel a lot of guilt because of the issue. You feel like you could have done something to stop it, but you're really actually helpless, and you really don't have anything that you can do to stop it. So I just wanted to say that for a lot of people, the problem with sexual abuse is that the thing they deal with all the time is the guilt. And I think that is a big issue that we need to take into consideration with these people, and because they're very sensitive about that. And that brings me into my third topic, which is sensitivity. There was a little issue in the chat room, and it may not have been anyone's fault, but it's just there's some keywords that bring up sensitivity to others, and you'd never know what those are for someone that was abused as a child. It could be different for each person, so I just wanted to bring attention to that and say that we all need to be just a little bit more careful with people like this, because we need to know that they're always coping and struggling with their issue. The last thing I wanted to discuss was the physical side to it. After that nigger Tyrone fucked my ass, it will never be as tight as before, you know? Because that nigger fucked my ass so much.
Okay. Well, we lost
Whoa.
That caller.
Okay.
And we will move forward. We do have a caller from the 719 area code. We're going to ashay that energy out of the whole experience. Got to take a ohm for that vibration, because
wow.
Let's take a deep cleansing breath, sisters. Let's keep it.
Laugh about that.
All right. Breathe that one out, and we move
Woo.
Forward. Yeah. Oh. All right. Caller from the 719 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Oh, hey. I was talking in the chat room with everybody there, and I decided to call in. I'm JJ2 in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess first of all, I should say I don't know what that previous caller. I think that's completely inappropriate for somebody to go on to a show where people are trying to help one another with serious traumas to say something like that. I just want to let you know, whoever called previously, if you're listening in, that you should try to change yourself and try to repent, because it was a kind of despicable act. Hey, do, in addition to that, I hope you didn't mind that little rant I had. It just severely offended me that somebody would do something like that.
Okay,
but,
go ahead.
Yeah, if I may speak. My name is George Russell, by the way. I'm calling from New York City. And, I mean, my experience with sexual abuse is very personal. I went through probably about 7 or 8 years of therapy, and I believe I'm over it. But nevertheless, I still like to share my story as a kind of cathartic experience, you know, to kind of get it off my chest, and hopefully to inspire other people that you can change, and it does get better, and you can get over this.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and your comment. We do appreciate it.
All right.
Thank
well,
you.
Here is my story. If
well, we maybe. Really do not have a whole bunch of time. I'm sorry.
Oh, well,
I really do appreciate
it. It's brief. It's just
okay.
This one time. my nigger father. He fucked me in the ass repeatedly.
And we're not going to take any more callers. We're just going to early. Because we're not doing that. We're not. All right, sisters. We're going to keep it moving. Because apparently
they need,
they need healing.
They need healing. I think we understand that. I think we understand that. And I agree. We should move on. I think the majority of the ladies would say yes.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's
how much time do you really take in your life?
They just wanted to share some vibes and sharing energy.
Perhaps the next caller will reprieve all of this.
We do have one last caller, and they are not calling in from any mysterious-looking numbers. They're calling in from a very reliable phone number. a caller from the 301 area code. You are live on Conversations
okay.
with the Queen.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. I have a quick question. I myself went through sexual abuse at the age of 3. And I wanted to know, I was recently told to begin to heal from that. I needed to revisit the situation and go and speak to the guy. The guy's actually my cousin. Now, I don't see him or talk to him. He lives out of state, but there are times where you do come around and, you know, family functions. I don't have any hard feelings towards him. To me, I feel like I've forgiven him, but I'm not sure, like, I keep being told you need to revisit the situation in order to completely heal so you won't take that into, you know, relationships and, you know, you're, you know, moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how true that is, but I really don't care to revisit the situation.
From
my perspective, this is just my perspective, when in revisiting the situation that occurred around that, what you have to take from it is, one, realizing that, you know, you weren't, it wasn't your fault, essentially. That's number one. Number two is, you said that you forgiven him, but you're not sure if you've forgiven him. Did I hear that right? I feel like I have because, like I said, I don't think about it. It doesn't bother me to talk about it. I've actually talked about it with other people to try to help them with their situation. But to keep being told, you know, you need to revisit that situation. Have you talked to him? Does he even know what he did? I'm like, why do I
need
to revisit
sometimes
that?
With others, they think that it's easy. People have to realize it's not easy, especially if your offender is someone that you know. It's not easy to, one, face your offender because it's like, okay, when you did this to me, so, it's not that easy to do that. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
But from hearing you speak and hearing you say that you don't really have any animosity towards this person,
mm-hmm.
you actually have forgiven them. So technically, when revisiting the situation, there's no real need for you to talk to them because within yourself, you've dealt with that and you've
mm-hmm.
understood within yourself that, okay, you did this, all right, and I'm going to forgive you because the forgiveness is essentially for you, not them. It's for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you caused yourself to heal from it, from allowing yourself to be able to forgive. And in your forgiveness, there came your healing. Now, as in revisiting the situation and talking to him, as far as it sounds from my perspective, you sound as if you dealt with this in a manner that it's not harming you in any way, and you are actually using it for the purpose of good. So technically, you really are revisiting the situation every time you tell the story.
Okay.
You are reliving it somewhat as well, but you're not feeling the emotion attached to it, meaning that you healed from the emotional part. So revisiting it and talking to them, that would be if I went to you running around angry, like an angry chicken with your head cut off and you, I hate you. If you were doing that, then I would suggest not necessarily the person, but revisiting and healing yourself from that. But listening to you and listening to what you said, the most important part of sexual abuse is forgiveness, because the forgiveness isn't for others. The forgiveness is for ourselves. And once we learn to forgive those who have hurt us, we essentially start rebuilding and reforming ourselves, because we said, you know what, it happened. Can't change it. You can't go back. It happened.
And you're right. And also taking responsibility for the role that we may have played a part in. And that's not to finger point. It's not to blame, et cetera, et cetera. But that's when we can gain clarity and when we can move on. And not necessarily having a conversation with someone might bring the kind of clarity that you're looking for. Perhaps you may want to look at writing a letter or drawing a picture, writing a story that's going to help with your healing process.
Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. You guys have a blessed night.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, we do have a caller from the, looks like they hung up.
Is there a 419 call coming through?
Yeah, there is a 419, but there's another caller.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you want to ask a question?
Yeah, and 508 is her. I don't know if she's still on, but I hopefully we might be able to address it. I don't know.
No, that's definitely there. I'll open that line because they have been waiting for a while. 419 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions? Well, the person seems to be silent. All right, we'll move forward. Caller from the 214 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Hi, how are you today?
Peace. We're doing well. We're maintaining.
I'm sorry?
Fantastic.
We're doing well. We're maintaining.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Afriya Nichelle. And I have a very real question. I've been listening since 19 minutes into the show. You know, I'm not trying to be argumentative at all, but I'm having trouble digesting the fact that what happened to me, I attracted to myself. I understand the law of attraction. But even like I went through a therapy for sexual abuse. I was molested as a child by a neighbor and raped at 17 at a graduation party by a classmate. Mm-hmm. And one thing my therapist always told me was that it wasn't your fault. Mm-hmm. And that helped me heal a little bit. And I tried to, you know, forgive because I was raised in the Baptist church, even though I'm not religious now, and it still didn't work. Even now to this day, still, I have a lot of anger and unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. And if any of you have truly forgiven, could you please tell me how? If that's what it takes to move forward, you know, I'm willing to do it. But for now, I still am very angry.
Very
and,
upset.
I would say...
Okay. First, hold on. Let me address one thing that she said really quickly before we jump into the meat of everything. When we're saying that you have, on some level, attracted this to yourself, we're not saying it's your fault. Let's be very, very clear about that. We're not any form or we're not saying you asked for this. We're not saying that you put a flag outside your window and was like, "Hey, come do this to me." We're not saying any of that. That's not what we're saying at all. That's purely speaking from a deeper inner level of subconscious and of spirit. That's talking about frequencies and energy. It's a very, very, some people might not be able to even comprehend that level on which we're speaking about when we're talking about that.
You're right.
So if that level doesn't resonate with you, as far as part of your healing process, by all means, do not be offended by it. Do not take it internally, and do not let it disturb your healing process, because we're not saying blame yourself, and because we're saying the exact opposite of that. We're saying take your power back and become empowered by overcoming the situation.
Correct.
because we were speaking from a metaphysical and a quantum physics level of thinking. And when you search on the internet, I think it will become clearer to you. When we're talking about attracting, for example, I say I'm going to a party tonight and something unfortunately happened. Well, I wanted to go to that party, not because I expected anything to happen to me or I wanted anything to happen to me, but I made a conscious decision to be at a specific place. So you begin your healing process. You begin your healing process by accepting the fact that it's not your fault and forgiving others, because there is a darkness of light, of life, just like there is a light part of our universe. And so this darkness sometimes an individual is not aware of. And we have to understand that there's a dichotomy of light. As I said, there's a likeness of light. There's this bright light of life, this aura that we have, this greatness of us. And then there's this darker side of the human mankind and the human psyche. So begin with understanding that it's not your fault and that sometimes individuals are weak-minded, even though they think they are very strong, because to hurt someone is a very weak-minded person. So you find a way somehow to forgive them for their weaknesses. Something happened in their life that they were not groomed to be a healthy person. So in time, I think you will get there, because it sounds like you want to.
Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, I would like to interject, because forgiveness to me isn't something that just happens one time. It's like a process with anything.
Yeah.
Because there's so much rage and so much anger. And like somebody said earlier, I believe it was Kathy, this is how one of the things that helped me is to write a letter. I mean, get it all out. If you got to curse. If you got to cry. If you got to laugh, write out everything. And at the end, release this person and then burn the letter. And if you have to do it 20 times, do it 20 times. And also forgive yourself.
And when that negative thought tries to creep into your mind, you replace it with, I am happy and I am healthy. I am a joy in motion. Whatever positive affirmation you can come up with, that's what you use. If it takes you chanting for 15 solid minutes with positive affirmations, that's what you do to replace that thought.
Yeah, you change that negative feeling to a feel-good feeling. It seems like it sounds so simple, and it actually is, but it's always a choice. We always have a choice, and we either can default to thinking we don't have a choice, but we do at the end of the day have a choice to say, you know what, I'm not going to feel this anymore. And as I said earlier, you know, it is a process. It's not like, I just don't want to feel this anymore. However, it's taken you years to accumulate this anger and this rage. But, you know, you'll be absolutely fine. Just you have set your intention already.
Don't rush the process, because when you said, he was like, I'm going to get over this already. It's a process. It's not something that is just going to happen overnight.
No.
You know what I mean? It's a process. And trust me, all of us, we're still dealing with what we deal with. It's just we're dealing with it on another level now, because we've learned to forgive those who hurt us and not only forgive ourselves. And when I heard
you don't want to give them that kind of power over you.
Right. Don't let them steal your power. But on top of that, when you feel yourself getting angry about it, you say to yourself, it's not my fault. I had no calls over this. And you know what? I'm not going to let this ruin my day. I'm not going to let this ruin my moment. I'm not. The more you tell yourself that you're not going to let it bother you, the more it starts to bother you less, the more you'll be able to talk about it. I agree with the writing of the letter and burning it. That's really therapeutic. I did that about 45 times. But it is therapeutic, because after every time you do it, and after every time, and believe it or not, after every time that letter burns and you sit there, you see that ash, blow it away and watch how it scatters away so fast, because it's gone. It's dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to let yourself know that, yes, this happened, and I accept that this happened to me. I can't change it, but I accept it. And you know what? This is not going to break me or make me angry or change who I am, because after something sexually abusive happens to us, we change who we are. But don't let it change you for the negative. Let you be a blessing to someone else by sharing your story after you received your healing. But remember, the forgiveness is more so for you than anything else. And you have to truly forgive. You can't say, all right, I forgive you. You did this to me. Da-da. No, 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 no. It's not just I forgive. Da-da. You can't forgive and then throw it away. You have to forgive and deal. I forgive you for doing this to me, but you know what? It's not going to hold me down for the rest of my life. And you go about it, and every day it'll get better.
And well, also feel that anger. If you do have that anger, feel it.
Hold up. Two people are talking at once.
I didn't want to cut anybody off. Like, I understand the whole metaphysics of it and everything, but a part of the reason why is because I have received, I guess, some counseling from a woman who you would say follows more the left-hand path, and she was telling me that there can be no forgiveness without restitution, and if you forgive somebody without them at least apologizing or without some type of restitution, just like in the court system, like you have to, you know, make pay your debt back to society, then you open up yourself energetically to allow that energy back into your life. So part of
now
me
remember,
has become afraid to forgive.
No.
And that's her
backwards
perception. You have to remember that's one person's perception.
Right. To tell you the truth, no. They say restitution. Okay, I'm going to tell you the reason why that for me that doesn't work. Because the five offenders that offended me, I've never went back to near not one of them. I haven't seen any of them, actually, to tell you the truth. But I have not went back to near one of them to ask for, why did you do this to me, apologize to me, make me feel better. No, I didn't do that because guess what? Even with an apology and what happened to me later on in life where I was attempted, and he did go to jail. He did, you know.
If you got an apology, Miss Lady, would it really make you feel better? Do you think that it would really make you feel better in that moment? This is a process that we're talking about here.
Honestly, it actually would, because I know that he was under the influence. I know it's not going to happen, but I'm just answering your question honestly. If I knew, I don't know what came over me, you know, something, just to know, because I still have no answers, or even back then, like, I could sit up here and guess and say, well, maybe that person has some type of issues, but, and I'm just being real, I'm not trying to be difficult.
You're being you, hard. And that's perfect, you being you, and
let me
don't
speak
change.
Real quick, let me interject. I think what we're all trying to say here is that there are instances in the universe in which we will not be able to get restitution for what happened to us. And if it was only set in stone, if it was a universal law that unless there has been some type of apology made or some type of amends made to situations, that's the only time you can move forward, none of us would ever be able to move forward from something that happened to us in our lives. Because people die, people move, people, you know, there's so many different situations. We live in a state of impermanence. There is nothing in the universe that remains constant. And because of that, the situations can change and shift where we're not able to receive that aspect. That's not necessarily a part of the process, although I know that it could help. I know that it would help so much, but you understand what really has to happen is that you have to forgive yourself because you are the only one in control of your actions. You can't control what somebody else does. You can't control the weather outside. You can't control anything else other than what goes on. And I'm speaking figuratively because, you know, I'm not saying that can't happen. But you know,
right.
You can't control the conditions around the situation, but you can control your reaction to the conditions. So you have to be able to go inside yourself. Exactly. You have to be able to go inside yourself and begin to heal. And if I may suggest a couple things that can help you, I deal with gemstone therapy because I feel like it's such a feasible way for us to move forward from certain things, because what it does is it surpasses the conscious mind, and the conscious mind is where we begin to have a lot of the clout and confusion and the inability to reprogram ourselves. So there's two gemstones that I'm going to recommend. If you can get a hold of them, if you're not able to get a hold of them, you can actually directly message me, and I'll make sure there's a way that you can get a hold of them. One of them is named, it's actually Rhodocrite. And I can spell that out.
I have some.
I will
here.
Spell it out. Because these, I'm telling you, they be like chronocyte, the butterdite, and all that other extra stuff. So I will spell it out for you. Rhodocrite.
I have some here. I've been working with it to.
Okay, you've been working
cleanse.
With it. Keep
mm-hmm.
working with it.
She's
keep working.
Working.
I think a large part of it is I'm a Scorpio. I have
mm-hmm.
a lot of friends in Scorpio, and it's just very hard for me to forgive once I've been wrong. But I'm working on it.
Yes.
And I
mm-hmm.
thank
it,
you.
It,
I know it's other people that need, you know,
yes.
Advice.
And
but I really do thank you, and I do feel better.
I'm a Scorpio
okay.
also, and you can heal. You can heal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Scorpio. You can heal. Just continue to work on it.
And keep writing. Just write.
I will. Thank you. Because it's one thing to talk to somebody that's never been through it, but it's another to talk to women that have been through exactly what you've been through and feel what you feel. So I really appreciate it. I'm thankful for this panel. Thank you.
Thank you very much
aww.
For sharing.
You're welcome.
Yay, we did our cosmetic duty.
All right, peace. All right, we don't actually have any other callers on the line, but we do have 9 minutes left, and I want to first and foremost give my thanks and my appreciation to every single one of you lovely ladies who is on the panel right now. You all are phenomenal and awesome in your own right. You all have stuck with me through this, you know, this was a trying show. Y'all was there. Y'all grounded me.
Yeah.
For real, I'm very appreciative of all of you guys' energy. And you guys gave great answers, great feedback. This is a truly amazing panel of women. So I wanted to just give that love energy to you all and give that thanks to you all.
You
yes.
are amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, it was a pleasure to be a part of the program. I knew the moment that I saw it posted that I wanted to be a part of it, and it's been such a learning process for me and a continued healing process for me. And we have to understand that forgiveness is a process, just like everything else, because if we could forgive, would everybody snap their fingers at the snap of our fingers, we would forgive, because no one wants to carry that mental baggage around with them indefinitely or for as long of a time as we carry it around.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So what I want to give each of you lovely ladies an opportunity to do is I want you to tell me in two words, give me two
uh-oh.
Words that have been key to your healing. So I'm going to start with seven.
Being real.
All right.
Yes.
Great. Awesome. That was real.
It was.
Exactly.
Like
Janelle, two words.
Two words.
Mm-hmm.
Love and forgiveness.
Great. Kathy, two words.
Faith and perseverance.
Strength.
I like
that,
Kathy.
One.
I like that.
You know it, girl. You know.
All right. And last, but certainly not least, Kelly, two words that have been key to your healing.
Loving myself.
Hey, Kelly, yeah. Like, that was
great. High five.
I like that response. You go, girl.
I love that,
now that
one.
That really has gotten me through, seriously. You know, I mean, you know, my name on Facebook is Love Always, and, you know, I'm all about love and all that. However, it's really something that I had to accept myself fully. Like I said earlier, I had to accept and acknowledge, you know what, this did happen to me. And as I said earlier, I'm such a private person, but I know that this isn't about me. And to the sister that called and said, you know, she doesn't understand how it, you know, how it is attracted to her, I believe that, you know, we have agreements before we're born. And I never questioned why. Once I accepted and acknowledged it 4 years ago, I just felt, well, I was told spiritually that this is something that I needed to do. And I feel like what has happened to me isn't in vain, because if I can touch one person and then that person touches another, then there's a cycle and it continues, and then that's how we heal this planet. That's how we heal women. That's how we heal the children and the men that love us and all, and even the men that have done this. Because I reached out to my perpetrator, my ex-boyfriend, and we kept missing each other.
Wow.
And after it was all said and done, you know, he was supposed to call me back on an incident or, you know, at one time. And Spirit told me, Kelly, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, you don't need to bring it up to him. He knows what he did, whether he acknowledges
it
or not.
Is
irrelevant. I had to look at him through the eyes of compassion. After I forgave him and did all of that work, because I know that hurt people.
Hurt people. Mm-hmm.
And you understand what I'm saying? So, you know, so that's how I got through my process. And it's an everyday thing where I have to look in the mirror and say, you know what? You are fabulous, sweetheart.
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I'm saying?
Yes.
Because it was hard for me to do that. It was very hard for me. And I still have that where, you know, I don't want people to think, you know, she thinks she's all that. And the hell with what
well,
people
you,
think. It's about what I think.
Are.
And you are all of that.
Yes.
You know, you're honoring.
We do. Actually, ladies, I love y'all to death, and I would let y'all talk until the blue in the face, but we do have one last caller who really
okay.
does want to get in there, and we got a little bit of time left, so I'm going to let him through.
Okay.
And
caller
okay.
from the 314 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any questions or comments?
Give
the number again.
Make it real
That's
quick.
My brother.
I appreciate all of you ladies what you're doing. And Tay Quinn, I appreciate you for having the show. Coming from a male perspective in regards to this, here in St. Louis, a group of us men who are doing our best to approach it from the various places we come at it. Personally, I experienced sexual abuse as an observer in my early childhood, having a relative that was sexually abused. And for me, it was well into my 40s before I was able to deal with it, and mine came through therapy. I heard someone speak earlier about the importance of forgiving oneself rather than the perpetrator, and that's what I had to do once I realized what one of my challenges was. And once I started entering into that forgiveness of self, you know, I felt guilty that I could not defend my relative. Even as a young child, as a 7-8-year-old child, I felt guilty that I couldn't do something to defend her. And I carried that throughout my life. And as I interact with sisters nowadays, and love always knows my story a little bit better than most, but it's something that I try to, in whatever way I can, to address with my male friends. And right now what we're looking at possibly doing is hosting the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes program right here in St. Louis in order to increase awareness about sexual abuse and rape in our community. So, again, I just appreciate all of you all for being so brave and willing to talk about your stories because the stories need to be shared. We need to take these stories out of the closet, out of the back rooms, and start to discuss it, because that is the way all of us can begin to experience some healing.
Definitely.
Okay.
Thank
you, Curtis.
Please give out your information so that anybody who wants to support what you're doing can support what you're doing.
My first name is Curtis. CURTIS, my phone number 314-358-8101. I'm on Facebook as Curtis Royston III, St. Louis Bike Man. You can also hit me through your page. Somebody can find me on your page, one of your friends, or on Love Always page, one of her friends. And email address is my name, CURTIS. ROYSTON, the number 3@yahoo.com. Thanks a whole lot, because any support that we can get especially just energetically, sometimes it's the thought that begins everything rolling down the hill. So just some thoughtful, appreciative things would be welcome to us as we start to do this as men, standing up as men should stand up.
Thank you. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, Curtis.
I'm glad to be able to share. All right.
No,
thank
you.
You
all.
Peace. All right. We've got this last 60 seconds left, so I'm going to bid everybody a little last piece and adieu. Is there any, like, last finishing, like, pressing, you must release it into the world? Comment.
You said
the gratitude.
It. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
You said it. Yeah, releasing those energies inside of us that are unhealthy through one method or another, whether it's writing, whether it's reading, whether it's poetry, whether it's painting, release it.
Yes, and another thing I would like to say is just if you throw out wrong or right, just connect to what you really feel and know everything has a purpose and nothing is out of place. Everything has a purpose.
Very true. Love yourself, love yourself, love yourself, and love yourself.
Love that.
All right. Well, thank you, sisters, for being on with me. And I'm going to play it out with this last piece. It's by Joy Jones. Joy Jones, Right Now. All right. Peace,
okay.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
I've missed.